Hello and you're very welcome to this audio heritage tour of Remelton. I'm Mary Phelan, a radio producer and a huge fan of Donegal, its culture, history and heritage.
And I'm Declan Gibbons from Creasla, a few miles to the west of Remelton.
Together we'll be taking you on a walking tour of this lovely heritage town, pointing out the main features of its history and evolution as we go. There are 14 stops along the way, the last two a little bit further afield. At the end of each stop, you'll hear this sound. It's actually the sound of St. Mary's Church bell on Chapel Road in the town. Our tour doesn't actually take us this way, but you'll hear the sound of that bell each time we stop. When you hear it, pause your player, have a good look around and take in everything at that particular point. Then, when you're ready, continue on to the next stop and press play. If you have printed the map or have one of the brochures, you can follow the tour that way. But if you haven't, don't worry, we'll be giving you directions.
Remelton gets its name from the Gaelic Ra Moltan. Ra meaning a circular enclosure or fort, and Moltan being a person's name. Unfortunately, not much is known about Moltan. Remelton is situated on the banks of the River Lennon. The area has been inhabited since around 7000 BC. The town itself dates from the early 17th century. The town is unusual in as much as it has an elegant Georgian streetscape, not something that we associate with County Donegal. The reason for this is very much linked to the town's history, as we will discover along the way. The area around Remelton was an O'Donnell stronghold from the 12th century onwards. The O'Donnells were very powerful local chieftains whose land encompassed most of County Donegal. The O'Donnells ruled the area until their defeat in 1601, followed soon afterwards by what became known as the Flight of the Earls. It was the O'Donnells who built the original castle on the quay sometime around the 1440s.
In 1619, not long after the flight of the Earls, William Stuart from Scotland was granted the Castle of Remelton and 1,000 acres of land by King James I. The town was built by William Stuart and his tenants brought in from Scotland. Originally, it consisted of 45 houses and cabins. After the tumultuous period of settlement that included the insurrection of 1641, Remelton became an important market town. The main axis of early Remelton ran from the castle on the water to the church, now known as Old Tully Ocknish Church. That's where we are now, and it was one of the defining buildings in early Remelton. Standing with your back to the church, you have a very good view of the surrounding countryside. To the north are the Glenalla Hills. You can see how the town slopes downwards to the river, the estuary, Loch Swilly, and the site of the castle, the other main building in 17th century Remelton. This is Church Street, one of the most important streets in the original town. Old Tully Ocknish Church was built as a Reformation church by William Stuart. It is what's known as a barn church, having just a single nave. The striking east window and the fragment of carved stone just above it are said to have been brought from the early medieval church on Ocknish Island close by. The sandstone doorway at the west end of the church is also said to have come from Ocknish. In the graveyard, you will see the names of many of Remelton's most notable families. The very first one on the left-hand side as you enter the graveyard is indeed a Stuart. Old Tully Ocknish Church eventually fell into disuse when St. Paul's Church of Ireland was built further up the hill in 1824.
Across the street is the first Remelton Presbyterian Church, otherwise known as the Wallace Memorial Church. This late Gothic Revival church was built in 1906 to replace the earlier meeting house, which we will see in a few minutes. Right beside it is a lovely old Georgian mansion, which served as the manse for many years. A little further up Church Street, towards St. Paul's, is the old Robertson Schoolhouse. Built in 1842, this primary school was specifically for education in the English language, and children of all denominations were educated here. It functioned as a school right up until the 1940s and is now St Paul's Parish Hall and the Community Play School. The adjoining houses are very old. The small one to the left of the school is where the schoolmaster lived. The very tall house immediately beside the schoolmaster's house is also particularly old, as you will notice from its height. When you've finished taking all of this in, walk down Church Street towards the Market Cross. This was the main entrance to the town and used to be very narrow and most probably fortified. It is thought that early Remelton was a walled town. Pause your player now.
Stop 2, Market Cross. You are now at the Market Cross. Markets were a defining feature of early plantation towns, and Remelton was no exception. This is where the market was held at the junction of the two main streets linking Castle and Church. From here, down the hillside, on your left as you reach the Market Cross, was the way to the ford crossing the river. This is now called the Bray or Bridge Street. The Old House Cafe is one of the original townhouses. If you look closely, you will notice the long pointed gable and the overhanging corner. The discovery of part of a green oak purlin in the wall here confirmed its great age. Apparently, the Scottish settlers didn't have time to season the timber they used to build their houses. Being a market town, early Remelton had several inns. Two of these were located at the Market Cross. These catered for horses as well as humans, and stables would have been a feature of these hostelries.
Castle Street follows the original street pattern, leading, of course, to the castle. Make sure you have a good look at the lovely Georgian house at the top of Castle Street, with its impressive shop front and doorway. Next door is another equally striking Georgian townhouse. This is where Dave Gallagher, the legendary captain of the All Blacks, was born. His family emigrated to New Zealand when he was 5. Dave Gallagher is one of two remarkable Remelton sportsmen. If you look down the Bray, as Bridge Street is known locally, you will see the house where another of Remelton's sporting legends, also called Gallagher, once lived. Patsy Gallagher, otherwise known as the Mighty Atom, played for Glasgow Celtic and is considered to be one of their greatest players ever. As a market town, Remelton was one of the main centres of trade in the area. So you will see that the houses along Castle Street were also shops or business premises of one kind or another. The shop fronts are very distinctive. Notice the arches between the houses, giving access to stables and workshops at the rear. This distinctive style of low archway is very typical of Remelton. Look at the cobbles in front of the houses on the left-hand side as you walk down Castle Street. They are original and were taken from the riverbed.
This would have been the main thoroughfare in the 17th and early 18th century town. It was a thriving place with lots of activity, not just in the shops, but also in the workshops and coach houses behind. There was an important network of laneways, one of which we are now going to enter. When you reach the junction of the back lane to your right, you'll see the sign on the gable end of the house facing you. Turn right and follow this lovely old lane until you reach the old meeting house. Notice the cornerstone on the house linking Castle Street and the back lane as you pass by. There are many such cornerstones in Remelton. On the one hand, a necessity when building on the hill, but also a feature of early stonemasonry. Stop 3, Old Meeting House. There were lots of lanes in early Remelton, and this was one of the most important. It was at the heart of the 17th century town and was the setting for the monthly cattle fair, which continued right up until the middle of the 20th century. Make sure you get a full view of the beautiful Old Meeting House, one of the most important historic buildings in Remelton. The oldest part of the building dates back to 1680, and it's now used as a local branch library. If you're lucky enough to be taking the tour on one of the days when the library is open, be sure to go inside. There you'll be able to look at the mast of the Saldanha, a warship that sank in Lough Swilly in 1811. An early member of the congregation, Francis McKeamy, born in Remelton around 1657 or 58, emigrated to the United States and is regarded as the founder of the Presbyterian Church there and one of the colonial fathers of religious liberty. Beside the old meeting house is the Masonic Lodge, built in 1815 and still in use. Straight across from the old meeting house is an even older manse, as you will notice from the sandblasted sign over the door. A little further on is the remains of the Back Lane School. This was one of the oldest schools in Ireland. However, the old stone wall is all that remains.
Here you will have another view of the Wallace Memorial Church that we saw earlier. It is said that it was the cow market outside the old meeting house that prompted the Presbyterian congregation to build their new church further uphill. If you are feeling energetic, you could walk along Meeting House Lane and into Mortimer's Lane, which is flanked by a high stone wall on the right-hand side, to get an even better sense of the early streetscape. When you have finished taking in this cluster of historic buildings, continue on down the back lane. The curved street pattern will give you a good sense of the 17th century settlement. Notice the cobbled drain on the right-hand side, in front of the terrace of very old houses. The one immediately beside the back of the old meeting house was also a school, this time a classical academy. A little further along on your right-hand side is a Methodist chapel, built around the 1820s. Then you will arrive at the little bridge, the old corn mill, and the miller's cottage, all just to your right. That's our next stop.
Stop 4, the old corn mill. The corn mill and the little bridge, as it's known locally, formed one of the boundaries of 17th century Remelton. Again, it was most likely fortified. The mill was also crucial to life in the town, and it's easy to understand why. Standing on the bridge looking away from the town, the building to the left was the old corn mill. It was powered by paddle wheels, which were driven by the stream running under the bridge. The mill pond was on the other side, above the bridge. Mills and their strategic location on rivers and streams were a key element in Remelton's thriving economy. The pretty cottage on the other side of the bridge is known as the Miller's House. The road that crosses the little bridge is known as the Ferry Road. It leads to Fort Stewart, where there was a ferry crossing Lough Swilly to Ballybegley. This was a very ancient ferry and operated for centuries, right up until the 1930s. It carried both people and animals. From Ballybegley, the city of Derry was only 10 miles away.
Further along the ferry road, on the left-hand side, was the Cholera Hospital, built in 1825. A place of quarantine, it stood on its own grounds beside the estuary. The street leading from the bridge to the castle is called Pound Street, because the pound was located there. The pound was where animals found straying on market day were put, and apparently there were several pounds in Remelton, indicating its importance as a market town. When you have finished looking around the mill and the miller's cottage, and listening to the sounds of the water under the bridge, turn around and walk up Pound Street to Cornmarket Square. This area was the epicentre of Old Remelton and is our next stop.
Stop 5, Cornmarket Square. The open area immediately in front of you is known as Market Square or Cornmarket Square. As we've seen, the corn mill is just around the corner, so it comes as no surprise that the corn market was close by. If you stand with Conway's Pub on your left and the post office to your right, you will see a gated courtyard straight ahead. This was the old corn market. It was also the heart of early Remelton, as the castle was just beyond. The castle was burned down during the 1641 rebellion and was never rebuilt. But if you look through the gates very carefully, you might just be able to make out the outline of the old barn in the opposite wall. If the ivy has been cut back, you may even be able to identify the line of gun loops in the wall. These are about two-thirds of the way up.
The castle, as we have already said, was one of the key buildings in early Remelton, so it comes as no surprise that many of the town's most significant buildings were located close by. Just to the right of the gate is a flight of stone steps. The door at the top was the entrance to the hall where the Grand Jury of County Donegal met. The Grand Jury, a precursor of today's County Council, was responsible for local government, roads and bridge building, the upkeep of hospitals, etc. The members of the Grand Jury were, of course, selected from the property-owning classes. The hall, known as the Guild Hall, has not changed since the 18th century. Still facing into the old corn market, notice the house to your right. You may be able to make out that it once had several doors, and it's thought that this was the original market house or customs house. An early Coast Guard station was also located in this complex. Our next stop is close by, just around the corner in fact. Walk around the old market house. Notice the old pump on your left as you walk past. Continue until you're right in front of the town hall.
Stop 6, Town Hall. Now, take a look back for a minute at the other side of the Guild Hall. Notice the symmetrical windows and the large arch entrance, similar to those we've seen earlier between the houses along Castle Street. Beside the Guild Hall, and almost opposite the Town Hall, is the first of many old warehouses so characteristic of Remelton. The low-set building, now Kelly's Hardware, was once a grain drying store. Tons of grain were dried here by an underfloor heating system. Notice the cornerstone of dressed granite at the entrance, there to protect the building from the iron rims of cartwheels, something you will see in several places around the town. Straight across the road is the Town Hall. It was built in 1878 and is a testimony to Remelton's prosperity at the time. In between the tennis courts and the estuary, you will see an old building, now McDade's bottling plant. This was once a creamery. Across from the creamery is a large and very gracious late Georgian house, known locally as the Mill House.
When you've taken all of this in, continue on and turn left. The original castle was somewhere in this vicinity. Notice several very substantial old stone entrance pillars on your left-hand side. You will notice the hulk of a ship in the estuary. This is what is left of the schooner Ada, built in Greenock in Scotland in the 1860s. She traded across the Atlantic until she was abandoned at Remelton Quay. The stripping down of vessels that were no longer seaworthy was an important industry in Remelton. Many of the houses use ships' timbers in their construction. Having had a good look at the Ada, turn the corner onto Remelton's iconic quay. This is our next stop. And there's a bench there, a great vantage point for looking out over the estuary, and indeed upriver towards the town.
Stop 7, the quay. Trade and shipping were both key factors in Remelton's wealth and prosperity, and nowhere is the commercial history of the town more evident than on the quay. The warehouses lining the quay were built from the mid-18th century onwards when Remelton was a thriving port. At this time, the town would have been a hive of activity, with local merchants both importing and exporting a wide range of goods. Sea transport was at its zenith, and the Lennon Estuary was navigable for sailing vessels as far as the quay. Goods were imported from all over the world, and local produce was sent far and wide. The size and number of the warehouses show just what a busy port Remelton was at the time. Note the typical arch gateways giving access to the warehouses, and the larger entrances in between. It's also worth casting an eye upriver, which gives a very good view of the town itself and the flow of the river with its heavily wooded northern bank.
The last warehouse in this block gives us a clue about Remelton's demise as a centre of trade during the latter half of the 19th century. A sign above the doorway indicates that this was the depot for the Londonderry and Lough Swilly Railway Company. It was the coming of the railway to Donegal, with Letterkenny becoming the transport hub, that led to Remelton being superseded as the commercial capital of the Northwest. Before continuing on up the quay towards the town, make sure to take a look at the football special sign on the gable of the corner warehouse. Football special is, of course, Remelton's answer to Coca-Cola. The grassy open area to the left as you walk towards the Mall is known as the Bing. Do look up to your left as you walk along, as you will have a great rear view of the large Georgian houses along the Bray. We'll be looking at the front of these houses in a few minutes. When you reach Park E. Halahore on your left, go inside and avail of the seating to take a rest and admire your surroundings.
Stop 8, Park E. Halahore. Earlier in our tour at the Market Cross, we drew your attention to the house where Dave Gallagher, he of All Blacks fame, was born. We also mentioned Patsy Gallagher, another of Remelton's sporting heroes, who lived close by in a house at the top of the Bray. Park E. Halahore celebrates these two sporting legends, as well as the history of Remelton more generally. A series of limestone benches, curved to mirror the shape of a rugby ball, have been shot blasted with images and text, reflecting various aspects of local history. This is part of the Heart Public Art Trail, a cross-border scheme fostering heritage and environmental regeneration in 12 towns and villages across the Northwest. It's a good place to sit and have a rest, while also offering interesting perspectives on the surroundings.
Looking towards the river, you have a very good view back along the quay, and the northern bank of the Lennon is very close. Before the plantation, the whole of the Lennon Valley would have been covered in native woodland. Looking across, you are now very close to those old oak trees, with all their birds and wildlife. Have a look at the old sign on the gable wall of the building facing the river, advertising one of Remelton's oldest hostelries, Sweeney's Bar. Sweeney's also had a thriving trade, exporting locally produced butter. The park is also a good vantage point from which to study nearby buildings, particularly the impressive Georgian house that overlooks the park. Exit the park through the opposite side, which will bring you out onto the Bray, where you have a perfect vantage point from which to admire the beauties of Georgian Remelton.
Stop 9, the Bray, Bridge Street. When you leave the park, cross the road carefully and stand on the footpath opposite. Looking up the Bray, you will notice the striking terrace of houses on the left-hand side. These are good examples of Remelton's Georgian architecture. The one nearest you is a large and very fine house. The one in the middle, number 22, known as the House on the Bray, was lovingly restored by the Remelton Georgian Society during the 1980s.
Then, looking in the other direction, westwards down the Bray, you will see the town, as it evolved throughout the 18th and 19th centuries, spreading out below. Notice the imposing complex of buildings at the bottom of the Bray, leading to Gamble Square. Then head down the Bray to Gamble Square, our next stop.
Stop 10, Gamble Square. Make your way across to the quayside, where there are two benches from which you can take in your surroundings. Be sure to have a look at the Victorian weighing scales. This is where produce was weighed before being brought to market. An official stamp was issued certifying the weight. And of course, the owner of the scales charged for the service. We are now at the heart of today's town. Notice the fine line of houses running from the square up towards the Mall. As you will see, here again, they all have arched entrances to the courtyards and mews buildings behind. Gamble Square is, of course, named after Gamble's shop, with its imposing Victorian shop front. Notice the fine decorative features on the shop itself, and the extensive set of buildings to the rear, which can be seen up the laneway beside the shop. Notice too the decorative mouldings above the doors and windows of McFadden's shop and Murray's Chemists. Also, the red brick former Northern Bank, now restored as a private residence. Further along to the right is another impressive shop front with its large four-paned window displays, its scale indicative of the commercial importance of Remelton at the time. Further along, the house at the end of the terrace is the old Royal Irish Constabulary Barracks. Cast your eyes back, then, to the cobbles and flag steps up to McDade's Wine Bar.
Then take a closer look at the Fish House, the old square building immediately on the river. This was originally a market for fish caught on Lough Swilly. If you look over the river wall, you will see an arched entrance to the Fish House from the river, now almost submerged. At high tide, fishermen brought their catch here for unloading. Fish buyers, with their carts, entered the building through another set of arches on the roadside. Nowadays, only the tops of these arches are visible, as the level of the roadway was built up after the mall was constructed, towards the end of the 19th century, by which time the fish market was in decline. Now it's time to walk Upper Melton's famous mall. This was built as a riverside walk in the 19th century, Remelton's heyday. It was planted with lime and elm trees. Sadly, only two of the original trees have survived. The houses along the mall have Georgian, Victorian and Edwardian features. As well as admiring the terrace at street level, including the characteristic Remelton door, comprising of four flush panels and three or four rectangular lights, do be sure to look up at the chimney pots in particular. The arches, so characteristic of Remelton, feature along the mall as well. And notice that there is, yet again, an extensive range of commercial buildings at the back of these gracious houses along the mall. Our next stop will be on the bridge.
Stop 11, the bridge. The three-arched bridge was built in 1794 and was widened at some stage during the 19th century. Before this bridge was built, there was an earlier structure, most probably made of timber, and before that again, a ford. It's well worth looking at the views in both directions from the bridge. Looking downriver gives another great vista on the town as a whole, and a strong sense of its evolution over time, from the original settlement at the top of the Bray to later developments along the Quay and the Mall. Then, before turning around to look upriver, take a moment to admire the native oak woodland on the northern bank. These are sessile oak, and oak, just in case you didn't know, are one of our longest living species, often living up to 2,000 years. So, many of these trees are older than the town itself. The fact that a remnant of native oak woodland is right in the centre of the town is one of the many features that makes Remelton unique. Then, just beyond the magnificent oak trees, notice Bank Terrace, perched high on the hill overlooking the town. This terrace was built towards the end of the 19th century by men living in the Milford Union, or the workhouse as it was more commonly known.
Now, looking upriver, notice the many heritage features reflecting the town's thriving local economy over the centuries. The imposing tannery was built in the 1890s. Tanning was always an important industry in Remelton. Prior to the building of this large-scale operation, there were lots of smaller tanneries, both in the town and in the surrounding area, all availing of the ready supply of hide. You will also notice a small square structure with a pointed roof near the river. This is one of three watch houses linked to the linen industry, which was also a very significant part of commercial life in the town. Flax was grown and linen produced in Remelton from the late 17th century through to the 1850s. Towards the end of the 19th century, the larger industrial-scale linen mills in places like Belfast displaced the smaller cottage industry-style production of Vermelton. We will see and hear more about the importance of the linen industry in the town in a few minutes. Again, looking upriver, it's possible to make out the remnants of the fishing industry that was also a vital part of Vermelton's thriving economy. Salmon and eel fishing were particularly significant. There was an abundance of fish in the linen, not just salmon and eel, but also sea and brown trout. Jellied eel from Vermelton was a particularly coveted delicacy. Then look at the backdrop, the wonderful Bay Hill woodlands, which include three very special wetland habitats. Notice also the curve of the River Lennon, a very old river system with established floodplains. The Lennon, by the way, has its source in Gartenlaw. Now we will continue over the bridge to Bridge End, stopping at the entrance to the Green Lane just beside the garage.
Stop 12, Bridge End, the Green Lane. We are now at the village of Bridge End, which has always been quite separate from the town of Vermelton. Notice the milestone at the house with the raised front garden, indicating a distance of a quarter of a mile to Vermelton. You may be slightly puzzled by this at first, but it makes perfect sense if you remember that the original town was perched high up on the Bray and thus would have been a quarter of a mile from Bridge End. The houses in Bridge End were mostly thatched and single story or story and a half. The second story would have been added on later. Notice the old cobbles, the original fronts, and the way the terrace follows the curve of the hill. Also, the stone steps and the built-up gardens. See how the house at the end of the row, just beside the laneway, is actually built over the bedrock. You will also notice that there's another layer of buildings up the laneway behind the houses, similar to what we've seen across the river in Vermelton. This, again, is evidence of the level of productive activity that characterised life in the area, with workshops for the various trades being accommodated behind the houses. There used to be a washhouse for the village on the site of the very last house in this row, which obviously must have had a ready water supply.
Now take a look up at the garage right ahead. This has been called a transition garage, as it spanned the transition from horse-drawn to motorised transport. There was an open forge at the lower level, with a blacksmith who bent the iron for cartwheels as well as shoeing horses, while at the upper level a garage serviced the motor car. The ford crossing the river, which predated the bridge, was just below here. We are now at the beginning of the Green Lane. The green here refers to the bleached greens so essential to the linen industry. And the linen industry, as we have already pointed out, was very important to commercial life in Vermelton. Newly spun linen is often very hard. So the fabric had to be laid out and bleached, in other words, laid out to the elements, which both brightened the colour and softened the fabric so that it could be rolled. Linen was a thriving industry in the 18th and early 19th century, and the River Lennon powered many linen mills. There was a linen market in the town, and the Watt family sent Vermelton linen to as far away as the West Indies. A little way down the lane, you'll see another of the watchmen's posts, one of which we pointed out from the bridge. These are small square structures with pyramid-shaped roofs made of unusually large slate, and they were used by watchmen spending the night guarding the linen bleaching on the greens. Just before the watchmen's post is a lovely old cottage, traditionally belonging to the bailiff, as this land all belonged to the landlord, with a beautiful traditional cottage garden.
Further down the lane, on the right-hand side, is a long or loom house. This is one of the many places around Vermelton where weaving went on, in this case, right beside the bleach greens. A very unusual feature of this building is the fact that the roof is made of wood shingles. After the cottage industry based around linen declined from the mid-19th century onwards, a new industry was set up in the area. Sometime during the 1840s, John Ward from Vermelton set up a chemical factory here, just down the lane, in fact. It was based on processing seaweed, which was brought in by the cartload from surrounding areas. Sulfates of potash, iodine, glauber and alkali salts were extracted and exported from the quay in Remelton. In fact, Ward's Chemical Works was so successful that it had a display at the Great Exhibition of London in 1850.
You may choose to end your tour here, as the next two stops are somewhat further away, the mill and Drumonaghan Wood. The main route takes you up the hill past the garage, then to the left, signposted Kilmacrenan, and along the footpath for about a quarter of a mile, until you see a turning to the left. The mill, stop number 13, is down to the left. When you reach the bridge with the wonderful weir on the right, take the little track to your left along the riverbank. This brings you to the mill.
Alternatively, you may wish to follow the old route taken by the mill workers over the years. This route continues on from the Green Lane, past the Loom House, where you turn right, climb over a stile and continue along the path which leads on to the mill. Stop 13, the mill. James Watt, one of the most important entrepreneurs in Remelton in the early 19th century, built a corn mill at Drumonaghan in 1812. This replaced the old mill near the castle, which we saw earlier. You'll be able to make out the initials J and JW on the stone plaque built into the gable wall of the mill building. The capital J stands for James Senior, and the lowercase J for James Junior, Watt. The Watt family were also the distillers of Tyrconnell whisky. Obviously, the capacity of this mill in Drumonaghan was on a much greater scale. Its construction involved significant engineering works, all dependent on the river. The carry, which diverted water from the river to power the mill, was hewn by hand. The mill was an important local employer and continued, albeit in limited use, right up until the 1970s. This large complex of early industrial buildings is an important part of our built heritage.
While standing on the bridge, which is unusual and worth looking at, given that it is a single arch bridge, notice the artificially constructed weir. Take time to absorb the sights and sounds of the river and the surrounding woodlands. Now, as the final stop, we suggest you go and enjoy Drumonaghan Wood. To do this, retrace your steps, turning right at the bridge when you leave the little track leading to the mill. Continue on as far as the cottage at the T-junction, then take a left, and you will soon come across the entrance to Drumonaghan Wood on your right-hand side.
Stop 14, Drumonaghan Wood. This is another ancient woodland, however, one that was cut and reforested with pine during the 1950s. Nevertheless, parts of the old native woodland have survived and are regenerating. You will notice that some of the oak trees here were coppiced, as were many of the oaks that we saw along the river bank in Remelton. This happened during the Napoleonic War, when demand for timber and other raw materials was at its height. Stop 14, Drumonaghan Wood. This is another ancient woodland, however, one that was cut and reforested with pine during the 1950s. Nonetheless, parts of the old native woodland have survived and are regenerating. You'll notice that some of the oaks here are coppiced, as indeed were many of the oaks that we saw along the river bank in Remelton. This happened during the Napoleonic Wars, when demand for timber and other raw materials was at its height.
In recent years, the conifers are being harvested and a walking path has been laid out. There has also been some new planting, and this has been done so as to reflect the ancient Irish Ogham alphabet, where each letter of the alphabet represents the name of a tree. so it is now called an alphabet wood. You can find out more about the Oum alphabet and the tree letter names from the information panel at the entrance. Dromonaghan Wood has many quiet corners, complete with benches, where you can sit and take your time before returning to the town.
We hope that you've enjoyed this audio tour of Remelton and that it's given you a greater insight into the heritage of the town. We'd like to thank the Heritage Council of Ireland for funding the project under its Heritage Education, Communication and Outreach Grant Scheme. Thanks also to Joe Gallagher, Heritage Officer with Donegal County Council. This walk is based on the booklet Remelton, an illustrated guide to the town by local historian Mary Hagen. The booklet provides additional information and is available in local shops. This audio tour was produced by Soundwoman Productions. Thank you for listening. Agus slán go fóill.